Welcome to Inside Ghetto Mother Teresa, Unveiling the Untold Stories, where we explore the intersection of entrepreneurship, compassion, and resilience. I'm your host, Chantel, and I'm thrilled to embark on this journey with you. In today's episode, we're diving deep into the world of entrepreneurship through a unique lens, that of an alter ego known as Ghetto Mother Teresa. This persona embodies the fierce determination of an entrepreneur with the compassionate spirit of a caregiver, navigating the often tumultuous waters of starting a business while uplifting those around them. But before we delve into the trials and tribulations of entrepreneurship in week three, let me take you back to where it all began. It was a moment of inspiration, a spark ignited in the depths of creativity that gave birth to Ghetto Mother Teresa. Drawing from the resilience of the streets and empathy of a saint, this alter ego emerged as a guiding force in the entrepreneurial journey of Chantel, your protagonist. As we journey through this episode, we'll uncover the challenges faced, the victories celebrated, and the lessons learned along the way. From balancing the demands of business with the call to serve the community, to finding strength in vulnerability and authenticity, Ghetto Mother Teresa's story is one of triumph against the odds. So, whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur seeking guidance, a compassionate soul searching for inspiration, or simply curious about the person behind the persona, join us as we embark on a quest to explore the heart and hustle of entrepreneurship with Ghetto Mother Teresa as our guide. This is Inside Ghetto Mother Teresa, Unveiling the Untold Stories. I'm Chantel, and together, let's uncover the power of resilience, compassion, and the entrepreneurial spirit. Stay tuned. I guess the first question that we can start as we discuss week three that we're headed into. Can you tell us about your alter ego, Ghetto Mother Teresa, and what inspired you to create this persona? For me, Ghetto Mother Teresa is really a dark comedy, crazy caricature, parody of life, whether it's something I've lived and experienced through or observed vicariously. To me, the persona is, you know, this person who gets to freely say and do whatever she wants. And to me, that's courageous. As someone who has spent the last 7 years in corporate America, I feel like we often don't have an opportunity to present our best selves, and let alone our authentic selves. And to me, Ghetto Mother Teresa was just that person where if I can rage against the machine, she would be that person, you know. And, you know, it might be said, why did you choose the name Ghetto Mother Teresa? Well, ghetto was because in corporate America, for the longest time, I would get coached and people would say, quote, "You speak too casual." So for those who are not aware of what it's like to be in corporate America, That translates to, you sound too ghetto. And to me, it never was a negative thing for me to acknowledge growing up poor. Because I think a lot of the struggles that a lot of people go through because of poverty, it either makes you go down the criminal path, or it has you go down a path where you're doing things legal and you're just trying to be that person to break the glass ceiling for your family, you know? And so for me, like, I just was like, hey, if people are going to call me ghetto, then let me own being ghetto and not have that be a negative thing used against me. As far as mother, I'll reveal that another time. Same thing like Teresa. I just felt like saying ghetto mother Teresa was just a really nice oxymoron. And it just made sense for all of the things going on in my life. So I think that's really it for the first question. In terms of the second question, what led you to entrepreneurship and how does ghetto mother Teresa play a role in your entrepreneurial journey? That's a really great question. What led me to entrepreneurship? I have been an entrepreneur my entire life. However, it wasn't until college that I truly understood the value in learning from others. And in college, there's a word called intrapreneur. And so when I gave up going to medical school, I decided to work for the man and be an intrapreneur where I work for somebody else and all the learnings happen on their dollar. And so that's kind of how that happened. I was definitely intrigued by the tech space working in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and I just love innovation. I was kind of that first generation of kids to have access to a computer. I mean, I'm pretty sure my first computer was like a Windows 95 that I used. The first computer I've ever upgraded the hardware was one of my original MacBooks from way back when. That's back before they soldered everything. You know, there's just a genuine love for like wanting to own the means of your production. So I've always been there. It just, I needed capital. Especially after college, I was so broke. I had so much student loans, it was crazy. So that's how that happened. How does ghetto mother Teresa play a role? Truthfully, she's just more of a funny character that I get to act out and have fun with. And apparently she's very polarizing. I mean, the first week or two, we were getting banned on TikTok. I think I'm actually banned right now on TikTok and Instagram. Some of the videos got removed, So, you know, I thought it was pretty funny. In fact, the first day I kept getting all these reports or whatever, and I reached out to all of the social media companies like, hey, you know, we haven't actually violated any laws or guidelines. Can you help us understand how we're missing the mark? And, you know, and then, you know, we'd get unbanned and then they'd ban us again and do all this weird cancel culture stuff. You know, at this present moment, I can tell everyone that we are not monetized. I mean, we're only into week three. You know, we're at the start of week three, so not a big concern. However, if we do get monetized, I own all of the rights for all of the skits and stuff like that, so not a big deal there. As you enter week three of your venture, what are some of the biggest challenges you've faced so far? Ah, oh, that's the best question. My gosh. The biggest challenges I've faced so far was I didn't realize how sensitive everyone is across the different social media platforms. I mean, to be canceled on your first day, that was pretty shocking. And I don't consider myself a controversial person, so I was very confused. In fact, I'm still confused. So if anyone can help me dial in on how I am being inappropriate, I'd love some feedback there. But yeah, definitely cancel culture. And actually, cancel culture, banning me, restricting our access to information, restricting our right to freedom of speech is what got me into opening a website where I talk about, you know, cannabis related products and review them. And so I was just shocked that, like, it's 2024, I'm in California, it's legal, yet here we are still demonizing folks. And adults have no access to educational material related to products geared towards adults. That's so strange to me. And if I have to be a vocal figure to say, hey, can we level the playing field? I mean, my goodness, you can monetize YouTube videos of people making wine and beer. But if you show any type of content, you know, with something else, you know, all of a sudden it's a problem and people come for your head. So I just think it's a really hypocritical. And I think for folks with the means and the resources who can help challenge the status quo and say, hey, I think people should have access to all types of perspective. They're going to hear my voice and they're going to carry the message forward, because at the end of the day, you know, it's just about sharing information. We're not here to encourage anyone to do, you know, anything to harm themselves or other people. So that's what that is. But yeah, no, it was definitely the cancel culture, not knowing how and why and what people are offended by. It's just such an interesting time to be alive, actually. Question four, how do you balance the grit and determination required for entrepreneurship with the compassionate and caring qualities associated with ghetto Mother Teresa? It's funny because at this present moment, I'm not a mother. So I don't have to act out the compassionate and caring qualities as much. However, for the loved ones in my personal life, of course, I definitely exhibit those qualities. I just think, you know, when you're getting into character, that's one thing, and she's kind of like my crazy character, versus, and so that allows my regular everyday person to kind of be that calm, cool, collected person that everyone likes. So I think that's how I balance it, is get on Mother Teresa's The Crazy, and I use her as like my escape, and me, the actual person, tries to be a little bit more emotionally intelligent along the way. I'm even trying to not curse just so we can stay monetizable. So here I go being a little bit more emotionally intelligent. Question 5, what motivates you to keep pushing forward despite the trials and tribulations you encounter? It's the trials and tribulations that I encounter that actually push me forward. In fact, when everyone had me banned and canceled before 1 p.m. on Monday, you know, my first day of content creating, and people were like, oh, we're gonna contact your boss and da da da, I was just laughing so hard, and I was like, whatever has these people triggered, let's keep going, because obviously whatever we're doing is working. You know, there's something going on, there's some type of magic here, and if people can't discern the difference between Chantel the person versus Ghetto Mother Teresa the character that's doing all these skits and, you know, just kind of acting a fool and talking a fool, it just goes to show that I have really channeled the character really well. And so that motivates me to keep going. When I noticed in week 2, actually a bunch of friends and family started messaging me in week 2 saying that Instagram notified them stating that my account is fake and I'm likely fake and I'm likely an AI bot. I thought that was really funny too. And then of course on Google, on YouTube, my viewership went all the way down. So what I did for week 2 at the tail end, when I realized, hey, my content just isn't really catching this week, I'm not sure what's going on, if it's an algorithm thing or if it's a content thing. But what I did was I focused and drilled down on SEO, and I even created a video going over our 2-week analytics, just to show that in a couple days of drilling down on SEO, we're able to really improve retention on YouTube, and that makes me feel very, very good. I've also been getting a lot of engagement on Instagram, which has been really great. We've reached almost 10,000 people already. So I'd imagine sometime by the end of this week, we'll have reached about 15,000 people in the first 2 weeks, despite all the, you know, bans and censors and people limiting my account from recommendations and da 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 da. So all that being said, if all of these different social media companies are flagging my account saying that I'm an AI bot because the content that we're generating is so original and it's so captivating to so many people, and each thing is, excuse me, gaining virality every time we drop. I mean, I can drop a minute clip or less, and within 10 minutes, I already got 500 to 600 views, right? And because I'm dropping 5 at a time, I get banned. Because they're just like, she must be a bot. This is weird. We have no idea what's going on. So let's take her down, you know. But we're just going to continue to press forward and believe in everything that we're doing, because if we're causing this much headway, again, I genuinely believe that it's because we're doing something right. So that's that for trials and tribulations. 6, can you share a specific moment or experience that tested your resolve as both entrepreneur and ghetto Mother Teresa? Yeah, the TikTokers banning me. I mean, I openly tag my stuff as comedy, satire, funny video, improv, dark humor, satire, and the little tweebs, tweens, TikTok, tactars, toes, whatever they want to call themselves, these little babies keep reporting me. It's like, my God, you guys obviously aren't my core audience. Meanwhile, on YouTube, I can set my videos to say, not for kids. So then I don't have to deal with that. And I can really focus and drill down on my content being viewed by the right people. And so I would say that's the thing. And also just not having transparency with these social media groups about why and people are reporting your stuff. So you can take corrective action. Like, I think, you know, that goes hand in hand. I think it's very important for grown adults to have discourse. Living in a society where everyone just cancels each other instead of allowing an opportunity to have a conversation, I find that very problematic. And so that's one thing you'll find repeatedly in my messaging is, you know, I feel like we should all be open-minded to dialogue. 7, how do you define success in your venture and what milestones are you aiming to achieve in the near future? That's such a great question. I keep asking myself that. Now that we've fixed some of the SEO issues on one of the websites, the Canna Review Club website and the YouTube for Ghetto Mother Teresa, now that we fixed those, I feel like we can now focus on delivering the content that each of our different viewers are interested in. What's interesting about our demographic and the first 2 weeks of everything is we managed to attract quite a wide range of ages. However, our biggest demographic is between 25 and like 55, just because there's a lot of cultural references there that you kind of have to be in the loop of in order to understand the joke. But to the best of my ability, I always try to display side by sides of jokes and reenactments and things of that nature so that everyone can consume the content and enjoy it on the same level, even if you don't necessarily have the context. So how do you define success in your venture? And what milestones? Yeah, you know, I think I'm still working out the KPIs and all that. I just think that we have, well, first of all, I have a lot going on, not just in my personal life, but in business. And so there is that. But I also, you know, being new to this space and running on multiple platforms, etc., it's new for me. So I'm not quite sure what I should be expecting. And I think I should really get a hold of more people in the industry just to kind of get an understanding of what expectations should be, how they viewed success, how they measured their milestones. Like, all of those things to me, are important. And I think I just need a little bit more experience
in all of this in order for me to truly be able to drill down on that. Now, if I was to say from a high level, the goal would be for you to be monetized within 6 months, within 3 to 6 months. That's rather aggressive. Instagram, I don't plan to monetize on Instagram. You know, I believe that folks should have access to information as well as consumable, digestible material. And I don't always want to charge for every little thing, especially for my fans. The entire point of me having these social media accounts is so that I can engage with the fans more. And I feel like if I lock people out by charging for every little thing, it takes away my ability to be reached by people. And I'm just not an ivory tower person. So, high level, get monetized as soon as possible. Milestones, have more brand partnerships where different companies want to have ad space on my websites, the different websites, the different businesses, have me do brand sponsorships and attend events, etc. Like, high level, those are all some things that I'm very much interested in dabbling within the next year or so. You know, we can talk about how many views I want to get up to. Like, you know, 1 million views a video would be amazing within the year, you know. But we're learning, and we're learning as we go, and we're gonna also be patient with the process. So that's how I feel there. 8, what strategies do you employ to overcome setbacks and stay focused on your goals? I try to find... One thing I've learned in tech is whenever you come across problems or issues or whatever, try to root cause the issue so you can then overcome that setback. So that's how I would answer that question. 9, in what ways do you leverage the persona of Ghetto Mother Teresa to connect with your audience or customers? I feel like Ghetto Mother Teresa is that character that everybody wants to be, but is afraid to be. You ever just wanna like quit your job and be like, bleep you, bleep you, bleep you, bleep you, you're cool, bleep you, you know? So I think for the people who like Ghetto Mother Teresa, they just understand that she's like the hyperbolic version of our angriest selves. You know, to me, she's like my Slim Shady. You know, like Eminem has Slim Shady, his dark side where he's, you know, doing interesting things. Same thing, like Nicki Minaj has her dark side, Roman. You know, my dark side is Ghetto Mother Teresa. Ten. How do you navigate the balance between authenticity and professionalism in your entrepreneurial endeavors? That's an interesting question because I feel like you can answer this in so many ways. I think authenticity and professionalism. See, this is what kind of upsets me because when people say professionalism, you know, there's already this connotation that you're going to be in a suit and a button up and da-da-da, hair, makeup, whatever. But to me, I feel like we should challenge the status quo. Like, you know, guys get to wear t-shirts and jeans. Why can't women finally let their hair down and chill? To me, I'd rather just be brutally honest and candid and keep it as professional in language as possible and just leave it there. But I also enjoy having fun. And I understand that in part of marketing, you have to have fun. Otherwise, people aren't going to be as engaged with you. 11. Can you discuss any unexpected lessons or insights you've gained since starting your venture? Cancer culture is real. First Amendment is under attack. And everyone's sensitive. And I mean, those are kind of the main stuff right there. What advice would you offer to others who are considering entrepreneurship, especially those who may be hesitant to embrace their own alter egos or unique personas? Ooh, this is such a good question. What advice would I offer them? Do it. Absolutely do it. Okay, this is advice that I always like to tell myself whenever I get scared and whenever I give advice to others and they need encouragement. It's, if you never try, your chances of success is zero. However, if you actually try and put in good effort, your chances of success greatly increases. And the longer you continue to work at whatever it is that you're working on, it's called the 10,000 hour, you know, mastery of craft theory. It's, you know, I genuinely believe in it. And so in order to be an entrepreneur, you really just have to go for it and not let any of the naysayers or even your own internal limiting beliefs hold you back. 13. How do you prioritize self-care and maintain your well-being amidst the demands of entrepreneurship? I like to take hot baths with bath bombs. I actually received a bunch of bath bombs during the holidays. So I've been doing a bunch of that. Coming out smelling like rose petals. I enjoy that. Maintain my well-being. I nap. I eat healthy. I listen to what my doctor's advices are. Get my eyes and teeth checked up. You know, regular stuff. 14. What does community support play in your journey and how do you nurture those relationships? Community support is everything. The entire purpose of all of this is to rebuild a sense of community, rebuild a sense of village for people. They used to say it takes a village to raise a child. But what happens when you have all these children that have no villages? Then they grow into adults and have kids without villages that continue on with the cycle. And so now you have the degradation of society and just folks not knowing how to have proper values. And so I think us coming together and creating a platform for the community to come together and support one another, whether it be the community having LGBTQ, entrepreneurs, artists, like those are really the demographic targets that I'm a part of and that I target. because ultimately, like, those are the people that I relate most to, and they relate most to me. 15. Have there been any moments of doubt or uncertainty along the way? And if so, how do you overcome them? No, we're just in week 3. So, not yet. Maybe we can circle back to this question a year from now. 16. How do you incorporate creativity into your entrepreneurial process, both in terms of problem solving and branding? For problem solving, I like to think outside of the box. If I propose an idea as a solution and everyone goes against me on it, and I ask why, and there's just not a good answer, I am going to try and run a limited trial in that process to see if going against the grain, now that we're in modern times, will solve the problem. So that's how I do it, is I use my newness and not limiting my creativity and stifle me and hold me back. In terms of branding, forget a Mother Teresa. Like, I'm such a naturally dark humor, sarcastic person that it just really happened naturally, and the fact that everyone hated her immediately just made Sarcasm Inc. on YouTube and Ghetto Mother Teresa blow up across the different platforms. So it was just really accidental. And the fact that people got a good laugh at the character, and that I get to engage with people and they're having fun engaging back with me, I think that ultimately is how we stumbled upon that brand. 17. Can you share a story about a particularly rewarding experience you've had while embodying the spirit of Ghetto Mother Teresa? I don't think so. Not yet. It's too soon. 18. What are some key lessons you've learned about resilience and perseverance through your entrepreneurial ventures? Keep going. Keep going and continue to drill down on your product market fit. Period. 19. How do you stay adaptable and open to new opportunities or changes in direction as your venture evolves? That's it. You have to stay open-minded. Stay fresh to ideas. Connect with other people. Network. 20. Looking ahead, what are your hopes and aspirations for the future of your venture and the impact you hope to make as Ghetto Mother Teresa? I would love to tell you all my huge goals, my life dreams, because I know it. I've envisioned it. But I think for now, it's just continuing to grow the brand and the different ventures and portfolio that I'm a part of. And hopefully continuing to be the voice of the voiceless, because it certainly feels like many of us are voiceless these days. And that concludes today. Thank you all for tuning in and joining. Until then, I'll see you all next week. Thanks.